with Ray and Bob upon this glorious day. The joy be unfolding with fervent ecstasy. Oh, Elliot and Goulding, Leona sings to thee. To Bob, 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 and Ray, 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 hark ye and come ye near. Today's the day for Bob and Ray, so lift your voices clear.
Very funny mechanical joke to start off today's Bob and Ray show.
Right. Thought we might chastise them for that.
Those are not our fault. I think we ought to clear ourselves of that, too.
I think so. I think we should explain who's responsible for that kind of baloney. Wish I had a microphone near me, friends, but Ronnie Hopper's our engineer, and I think he neglected to see that I had a mic.
He does that once in a while. If you talk up a little bit louder, it'll sound just the same, though.
All right, if I yell, maybe you can hear me okay.
How's that level? Pretty good? You're going over to Fred Falvey's first, I guess, huh?
Yes, we are. Now that I have a microphone, Bob, we can get right over there. And here we are in the workshop of Fred Falvey down in his basement. Fred, you know, is the famous do-it-yourselfer. And I'm sure that he's all prepared to pass along some more of his helpful hints to you today. Incidentally, Fred, the that big wall fan you got going over there. That's
yes.
Something new, isn't it?
Well, that's part of a little gadget I rigged up to air condition the basement workshop for the summer. I drilled a hole in the side of our refrigerator upstairs, and I ran a pipe down to this fan. The fan sucks the cool air out of the refrigerator and blows it around here.
Well, that's quite an idea. I imagine, though, it runs your electric bill up pretty high, doesn't it?
No, we keep the refrigerator set just the way it was before. Food gets rancid, but I'll be working down here in the real comfort, even though the hottest months may be bothering other folks.
So, here we have just another example, my dear friends, of better living by doing it yourself,
yes,
eh, Fred?
This is just another example of better living by doing it yourself. Incidentally, the temperature in here now is down to about 40. I think I'll turn the thing off for a while.
Yeah, well, it should help a little. It's getting pretty chilly here. Tell me, Fred, what tips have you chosen to pass along to the home handyman in our audience this week?
Well, this week, Ray, I'm going to demonstrate how you can cut out one of the biggest items in your wife's budget by making her nylon stockings right in your own home workshop.
Gee, I never realized that it was possible, really, to make nylon hosiery in a basement workshop. I thought it took a great deal of equipment.
Well, it does take some, but I've managed to cut corners here and there. The basic ingredients of nylon are quite inexpensive: water, air, and carbon. Of course, I use regular household air and water. And I have the girls at the office saving all their old carbon paper for me. Then I scrape off the carbon. I have everything I need except this machine here, which blends the ingredients into nylon. One of these costs about $450,000, but I have a friend in the business who got one for me wholesale.
Well, now I notice that you've poured the ingredients into the machine there, Fred.
That's right.
And I wonder if you'd show us just how it produces the nylon yarn.
Well, it's all done automatically, of course, just by throwing this switch. Here, I'll show you.
And there we have it. Nylon yarn produced right in a home workshop. But, of course, you still have the problem now of weaving it into hosiery, Fred. Do you have another machine to do that?
Well, you can buy a hosiery machine, but, of course, that's just a hobby with me here, so I'm doing the weaving by hand in my spare time. You can see that I've got about a quarter of an inch of the toe of one stocking done here already.
Mm-hmm. That must really be a painstaking job, weaving those little fine threads together.
Well, you can't see to do it with the naked eye at all. I hold a magnifying glass in one hand and weave with the other.
And they'll be produced, I suppose, at a fraction of what the same item would cost you in a store.
Well, I don't know what it would cost in a store, but these will run me about $3,000 a pair.
So once again, we've seen an example of better living by doing it yourself in the basement workshop of Fred Falvey, the do-it-yourselfer.
I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madam, with you. My heart won't let my feet do things that they should do. You know what? You're lovely. You know what? You're so lovely. And oh, what you do to me. I'm like an ocean wave that's bumped on the shore. I feel so absolutely stumped on the floor. When you dance, you're charming and you're gentle. Especially when you do the continental. But this feeling isn't purely mental. For heaven rest us, I am not asbestos. And that's why I won't dance. Why should I? I won't dance. How could I? I won't dance. Merci beaucoup. I know that music leads the way to romance. So if I hold you in my arms, I won't dance. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, don't ask me. I won't dance, madam, with you. My heart won't let my feet do things that they want to do.
Bridget Hillary and the News, the exciting true-to-life story of a girl radio reporter who dares to tell the truth in her weekly broadcasts. As our scene opens today, Rudyard Swamp, the president of the Amalgamated Broadcasting Company, is just entering the rehearsal room where Bridget is at work on her script.
Oh, Mr. Swamp, I didn't realize that you or any of the other network executives would be around so late in the evening. I would have taken you for a night janitor, except that they don't wear gray flannel uniforms with carnations in the lapel.
Well, I stayed down on purpose this evening, Bridget, because I want you to know what a fine job I think you're doing for Amalgamated. In fact, there's going to be a handsome increase in your paycheck beginning next week.
1 minute at a time, Miss Sullivan.
Just a little token to show how much we appreciate having you on the Amalgamated team.
Are you trying to bribe me to keep my mouth shut, Mr. Swamp?
Well, of course not. Those of us on the management team just feel that you're doing a bang-up job, and we want to show our appreciation.
Apparently, you've gotten word of the radio editorial I plan to run recommending that Amalgamated be investigated by the government.
You're going to run an editorial recommending that we be investigated by the government?
Those suckers to add tyrants, all right.
What in the world would the government investigate us for?
I'm afraid you know the answer to that as well as I do, Mr. Swamp.
Well,
you're not broadcasting in the public interest. Perhaps you don't remember, but my fiancé, Clark Damish, was in to see you a while back with the suggestion that you run 3 hours of sustaining cello music every night from 7 to 10. You rejected the idea on the grounds that You have sponsored programs at that time. And I'm going to have to expose you for the money grubber you really are.
But, Miss Hillary, 3 hours of cello music every night is not my idea of broadcasting in the public interest.
We're on the air, I'm sorry.
Besides, Damish wanted to do the playing himself, and he's only been taking cello lessons for about a month now.
Mr. Swamp, it's the duty of network radio to raise cultural levels. If Amalgamated won't do it, then I'll have to recommend on the air that the FCC revoke the licenses of all your affiliated stations.
Bridget, you'd be throwing thousands of people out of work just because of one nut who doesn't know how to play the cello.
Your program is off the air now, Miss Hillary. When you didn't show up in the studio, they filled the time with the soundtrack from an old Howdy Doody Kinesco.
I've spent my life building this network, Bridget. And I don't want to see the name of Amalgamated rake through the mud just because you and this lunatic boyfriend of yours like cello music.
Mr. Swamp, you've always been good to me. But when this network ceases to operate in the public interest, my responsibility is not to you, it's to the American people.
And so Bridget takes the step that could destroy the network where she's worked for 23 years. Be sure to be with us next time when we'll hear the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission say,
I recommend that we leave the network alone and have this Hillary woman committed.
That's in the next exciting episode of Bridget Hillary and the News.
Repair, and you're heading way up there, do you know the shoes to wear? Make up your mind. To play it safe, your shoes should be the kind that aren't slippery, or you may wreck your vertebrae. Make up your mind.
Well, that's about it for now. We'll be back though in a little while with some more really funny entertainment for you folks.
Right.
Bob and Ray Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.